This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Juliet Jacobs and Sumitra Selvaraj. Before the break, we were talking about the notion of buying less rather than buying green. And now for our second story, we have a question for you on Twitter.
We're asking you, what movie can you watch over and over again? And before we share our answers, here are some of yours. We have White Chicks.
Interesting choice.
Oh, Godfather Trilogy, especially Part 2. Mm-hmm. John Hughes, The Breakfast Club, that's a classic. P. Ramlee movies.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got plenty more, but we've got to share our own too at some point, right?
Yes, but why are we asking you this? Well, because we live in the age of streaming platforms, online videos, and basically a multitude of entertainment options that are really right at our fingertips. So what makes us return to these particular movies again and again? I mean, what is it about some movies that makes us not only watch them over and over, but continue to get enjoyment out of them?
So a recent article by the BBC discusses exactly this, right? Our reasons for rewatching some movies again and again. And in fact, it seems like these streaming platforms and the easy availability of content is actually encouraging our desire to revisit particular movies. For instance, Netflix uploaded 8,500 minutes worth of their own original movies last year, but it was the arrival of the 1987 movie Dirty Dancing on Netflix back in August that created a total sensation on social media. And why wouldn't it, Patrick Swayze?
Exactly. Yeah, I watched that over and over again.
I have.
But before we get into that discussion, let's get an idea of what people like to rewatch. So we did a quick survey of people around the office to find out which movie they choose to watch again and again and why. And here's what they had to say.
Any of the original Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, or A New Hope, because I've been watching them since I was a kid, and then it just brings back a lot of memories.
My like rewatchable movie that I can watch anytime, any day, any place, any whatever, is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Mainly because, you know, they're all just such babies and they're very cute and it's a really magical time and a fun time and I love it.
For me, it would be The Dark Knight, the trilogy, I mean. So basically, it's because, well, I love any Christopher Nolan film, but The Dark Knight is especially captivating. It's just memorable. It just makes you want to watch it again and again.
When Harry Met Sally, I love the lines. I love the music, and it's just a good trip down memory lane whenever I watch it. And it's still fresh after all these years.
All right, movie that I watch on repeat is Creed 2015. It's a Rocky movie. I watch it on repeat. It is because it's very motivational. It's like when I feel like I want to go for a run, all right, or, you know, I need motivation, I just watch the movie.
So the movie I watch maybe at least once a month is Princess Diaries. It always makes me cry. It's also it's a very good pick-me-up, you know what I mean? I feel like as a little girl I watched it and I was like, oh, you know, like I can do anything. You can believe in yourself and do big things. And yeah, and it's also just like a very beautiful movie. I feel like the visuals are really classic and it never gets old for me.
So what never gets old for you guys?
Okay, I'm going to fess up. It's a Tamil movie called Michael Madana Kamarajan, and it's got...
Oh, I totally get it. I used to watch that so many times when I was a kid.
So it's a Kamal Haasan movie, and he plays four different roles in it.
Yes.
Maybe that's why it doesn't get old, because he plays so many different
Never
roles.
Know.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, it is terribly dated. When I do go back and kind of watch it, or when my husband catches me watching it, he'll say, why are you watching this again? And I think it's a combination of a bit of nostalgia, but also I find it seriously hilarious.
Julia?
Mine is, okay, I'm going to cheat. It's not a movie. It's a miniseries. It's the Pride and Prejudice miniseries. And it's
Colin Firth one.
I was just going to say.
It's the BBC one. Yeah.
Is it the miniseries or is it Mr. Darcy?
It's the miniseries. I love it. I love the conversation.
So it's not just Mr. Darcy on repeat,
well,
just to clarify.
There's that too. There's the coming out of the lake scene and all of that. There's a bit of that too. But I love the conversation. It's so well acted. And I used to watch with my late mother.
Yeah.
So I guess it's that kind of memories that we have together as well.
That's actually a very similar to me. My movie is Back to the Future, and I was introduced to it by my dad. And also, it came out in the early 80s. I was very young, so there's never been a time when Back to the Future wasn't a reality for me. And I just love it. For me, it's like the perfect movie. It has everything. It has sci-fi. It has comedy. It has Michael J. Fox, who I love. It never gets old for me. The sequel, the second and third versions do, but the first one,
yes,
yeah. Every time I watch it, it's always the same.
Mm. Yeah, so. Indiana Jones movies are like that for me as well, because there's a sense of nostalgia to it as well, right? And because it's so adventure driven, you're right. I feel like I just keep watching it again and again and again. Mm.
So according to Ranker.com, the top five most rewatchable movies of all time, as voted by their readers, is in order: number one, Star Wars Episode. Star Wars Episode 4.
A New Hope.
A New Hope one, yes. New Hope. Number two is Back to the Future. Number three is Jurassic Park. Number four is Forrest Gump. And number five is the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Can I just share with you something that came in on WhatsApp? Somebody wrote in to say that they have watched the Lord of the Rings extended edition about 20 plus times over the last few years.
Wow.
You've got a lot of time on your hands.
They must have contributed to this list.
I am with him. I used to be like that, but you know, I cannot watch it anymore. I find it dated now. I find the acting a bit suspect in some places, the continuity that it's not quite there. So I can't watch it anymore. So I've stopped watching it because of that, because it brought such good memories when I, you know, when I used to watch it. Now I can't.
Well, other movies that come up a lot in these kinds of movies that are always watchable or rewatchable include The Wizard of Oz, The Sound of Music, or that's one of mine.
Mine too.
The Shawshank Redemption Die Hard. So what is it about these specific movies? Why are they so imminently rewatchable?
Well, I suppose the most direct response to that is that we simply love these movies, right? That for whatever reason they appeal to us, these particular movies are the ones that really work for us and that we want to give them more of our attention. It could also relate to what we perceive as high quality, what we think is a really good movie, and that we want to give it more of our attention in the sense that we feel that it's so beautifully done and so beautifully shot that you need to be able to pore over it repeatedly.
And like in the case of, say, Christopher Nolan's movies, you want to pick out all the points you missed the first time.
Correct. Yeah. And see the hidden details.
Yeah, all the Easter eggs that you might have missed the first time around.
Yes.
But I guess another possible reason could be that watching something we're already familiar with kind of, you know, just requires less effort and mental energy from us. So those kind of repeat viewings just lend themselves well to sitting back and relaxing. I mean, for Netflix, it's exhausting to go through the new ones. I always land watching things that I've already seen before.
Yeah. So there's also the theory of the tyranny of choice, right? Or the paradox of choice, which was basically a concept popularized by psychologist Barry Schwartz in 2004, basically says that giving people a huge number of choices actually creates anxiety and causes them to feel overwhelmed. Take, for instance, the plethora of options on Netflix or even the hundreds of channels on Astro. This sometimes causes us to retreat back into the familiar, to a movie that we know that we already love and that probably won't disappoint us. How many times have we done the whole scrolling through and say, there's nothing to watch?
You know, like Juliet just said, with Netflix, I don't even bother doing that anymore. I don't even scroll because I feel like I'm going to get caught in a rabbit hole of scrolling for like 2 hours. So I'll just go to the things that I already know.
It's the same reason why I order the same thing from the menu from a restaurant menu.
Especially when there are those menus that are pages and pages and pages.
Give me two choices and I'm good.
And you know, that familiarity can perpetuate itself. There's a psychological phenomenon called the mere exposure effect, where people tend to develop a preference for things merely because they are familiar with them.
So you mean like our husbands and partners?
Oh, perhaps. I didn't say anything.
You know, so this means the more you watch something, the more you develop a liking for it. So, for example, Christmas movies or Halloween movies, which, you know, just kind of end up becoming a nice tradition.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. So I tend to associate Deepavali with Rajnikant movies for some reason.
Right.
I always feel like I want to watch a Rajnikant movie on Deepavali because there's always a big Rajni movie that comes out around Deepavali. And I watched it with my family as a kid. But so that relates to one of the biggest reasons that we return to specific movies, which is nostalgia. nostalgia. So it's no coincidence that many of the movies that we watch repeatedly are the ones that we first discovered when we were children.
Yes.
So in that BBC article that we talked about earlier, it quotes Professor of Psychology Clay Rutledge, who studies nostalgia. And he says that there are certain cultural and personal experiences that we like to return to as a way of anchoring ourselves, that these experiences give us a sense of connection to where we came from and who we used to be. And so Rutledge further says that this experience of liking a movie also fits into our notion of forming our identity, because that's when we, you know, as children, we start figuring out our own interests, our own preferences. And so that's why we hold these particular movies so close to us.
And of course, it makes complete sense that the research shows that we're more prone to seek out these sort of nostalgia, this sort of nostalgia when we're in certain emotional states, like when we're sad or lonely or anxious. And this makes us more likely to need something to remind us of who we are, which is why many of us have that go-to movie that we turn to as a comfort watch.
Yeah. Sort of like comfort food as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, comfort movie and comfort food.
I know what I'm doing tonight. So to get some insight into how all of this pans out in the actual movie watching experience, I spoke earlier today to Lee Chui Lin, who is, of course, the co-host of our movie show, Skip Intro. I asked her what she thinks makes some movies so rewatchable.
I think actually it might come down to, more than anything else, they occupy a world that you want to return to. And like, I don't think that necessarily has to be a fantasy world of any kind. Really, it's as simple as that version of New York is the sweetest possible version, or you want to live in, I think, for example, somebody who falls into this category but is somewhat divisive is Richard Curtis, right? And Richard Curtis's version of London is like nobody has ever experienced that. But that makes it still, I think, a thoroughly revisitable place because it's almost like going to Hogwarts. It doesn't exist, but it's comforting.
And what does an audience get from these repeat watches?
I honestly think more than anything else, it really depends. So for some movies, I think that are a little bit more complex or could have multiple readings, then I think you bring yourself to each viewing, right? So it really depends on where you are and why it is that you have chosen this particular rewatch. You know, are you sad and looking for comfort? Are you happy, but you don't want to watch something new? You just want to go back to something you know you like? And so I think firstly, it depends on your mood and what you're bringing to the table. But the other thing is, it's like coming home in many ways. I think it's like having familiar voices, no surprises, no twists and turns, just sort of background, comforting white noise.
Mm. Do you think that streaming platforms and the concept of entertainment on demand has changed the way that we rewatch movies?
I think so, partly because now there is an immediacy and availability that wasn't there before, right? Like in the past, if you wanted to rewatch it, you might have to look for the DVD if you were, you know, at that phase. Alternatively, you might have to hunt for the thumb drive that it was on. They're just all these different things. Now, so long as you've paid up, you can just switch it on and look for it. And, you know, I think also the ability, and I know this sounds small, but I think the ability to add to a favorites list changes a lot because that immediacy goes from as quick as it already was to just completely instant because it's right there.
That was Lee Chui Lin, co-host of our movie show Skip Intro.
So shall we just have a quick look at what our listeners are rewatching obsessively? Disney's Meet the Robinsons. I love the explanation Rai gave as to why this movie. It's a cartoon, but the best representation of how to set a life goal, letting go of the past, law of attraction, and yes, keep moving forward. You guys should watch it. You know what? I don't think I have.
I have. Meet the Robinsons is awesome. I love it.
Okay. The Matrix trilogy is a popular one, as is Lord of the Rings. What else do we have? Lord of the Rings again. We had Pat Adams, of course, because that's a big one. Mm-hmm. Woody Allen movies and Tuku Tuki, which is a Sivaji Ganesan movie, right? An oldie. Grey's Anatomy, bit of a television series, but okay, we'll accept it. Die Hard, Mind Your Language again, you know, that's television. But yeah, we've got more Transformers, all the Bond movies, all the DC movies. I can't keep up, guys. Where's Harry Potter? I think somebody in our Vox Pops mentioned Harry Potter, correct?
Well, no, Harry Potter for me is perhaps because I wasn't as young when it came out. Mm-hmm, so I prefer the later ones. But still, I don't know whether I'd necessarily rewatch them so many times.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you guys? You know, have you ever thought about whether what you used to watch as a kid has what you rewatched then changed? Do you watch different movies now than you used to when you were younger in terms of repeat watching?
I don't know about, I suppose generally as a child, maybe I would have just repeat watched a lot more cartoons, although I'm not very averse to the idea of repeat watching cartoons even these days. But I will share with you, Sharmila, what I did yesterday is because, you know, the new Terminator movie's coming out, right? So to kind of refresh our memories, what my husband and I did was, you know, we pulled up the Terminator movie, the original one, 1984, 1986, to watch it. It was nearly unwatchable.
Oh, no.
I had all these expectations in my head of what it was going to be like. And, you know, it's just a lot of that pew 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 laser, and it was
See, sometimes I'm afraid to revisit movies I used to really love as a kid because of that. Yeah,
right, like Ghostbusters, that was something for me. But when I watched it again, even though it was so kitschy and, you know, a bit again pew pew, and the effects were so bad, but still somehow the jokes managed to carry forward. You know, it was still pretty good.
So I suppose it's the writing of because the effects kind of get dated. I mean, Juliette, you even mentioned, like, you find Lord of the Rings dated.
I do. I really do.
Yeah, so it's got to do with more than just the effects and what you're seeing on screen. It's also a certain kind of storytelling that's going on that maybe stays fresh, even if everything else has become dated.
Yeah.
We seem to have a lot of people chiming in with their favorite rewatchable movies.
Yeah, I can barely keep up with this. What do we have here? We have Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, Star Wars, Rogue One, and Inception. We have Pretty Woman and What's Cooking, San Junipero. We have Chris Rao says, Little Mermaid, I Love Sebastian, who doesn't? Coming to America, Eddie Murphy is, of course, a classic. Lee Yun Kiat says, Tears of the Sun. Bruce Willis was in that, yes?
Yes.
Edward Scissorhands is another favorite. What else do we have? I don't have much on the rewatch list other than Lord of the Rings, says Alvin Lam. But there are many movies that when I find out a certain individual has not yet watched it yet, I'll try and force the movie down the person's throat, because those are must-watch classics. For example, Shawshank Redemption, Fight Club, Apocalypse Now, Green Mile, Kill Bill, and Sin City. All great choices.
Good list. Yeah.
Very good choices.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got somebody saying, how could you have forgotten all the Bruce Lee movies? We haven't forgotten the Bruce Lee movies.
Thank you for suggesting
them.
Yes,
and of course the Charlie Hunnam movies as well, because that's in a class of its own altogether. We've got plenty more on Twitter. How do we even begin? Project Plight suggests The Departed, Inside Man, Inception, Lone Survivor, Definitely Maybe. Mm-hmm. We have T. Hitch Singh, who says The Edge of Tomorrow, Finding Nemo, Mad Max, Road Fury, Bujang Lapok Trilogy, oh, great one. Guzman says Napoleon Dynamite, and Chikian says Gladiator. We've got more on, let's see, Rudzaini Rahman says The Mummy. Checks all the boxes, if you can discount the dated CGI.
I can. I truly can.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
Ryan Chan, mate, you've got my vote, because you've said that Raiders of the Lost Ark is definitely a rewatch, and that's definitely on my list. Sweet Chuan says any Richard Curtis movie, and of course Aslin says Love Actually. Nobody makes rom-coms like the Brits. I would agree with you.
I could watch Love Actually over and over again.
And a lot of these movies are stuff that we've mentioned as well. The Matrix, Pirates of the Caribbean, Silver Linings Playbook, Interstellar, La La Land. Wow, everybody really loves your movies. Shawshank Redemption, Predator, Apollo 13, A Few Good Men, Home Alone. Okay.
Well, then there is your movie list for the week sorted.
For the year.
For the year, exactly.
And you know what?
The year.
We didn't even get through everybody's comments.
Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today's show. But you can continue to talk to us. You can look us up on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture to drop us a message. We're also on Twitter at BFM Radio. And if you've missed any part of this show, you can download the podcasts on BFM.com. bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Sumitra is going to stick around and she'll be speaking to Dato' Dr. Narima Awin, who is the chairperson of the National Population and Family Development Board, mm-hmm. as well as Syed Azmi, social activist, about the pressing issue of underage pregnancies. So we will leave you now with See You at the Movies by Jay Mashes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.